worshiping the Lord. I appreciate the beautiful spirit that I feel here tonight. Amen. I'm going to read tonight from the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. While you're turning there, just one other announcement. Remember, Wednesday the 23rd, we'll have a short business meeting after our midweek service. So just keep that in mind. Won't announce that, so we'll have it on the schedule. Matthew chapter 4, verse 9, verse 10. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. I want to talk tonight about the preeminence of worship. Amen. You may be seated. Immediately preceding these verses was the baptism of Jesus in Jordan by John. And we've read the voice that spoke out of the heavens and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. It was a confirmation of the identity of Jesus Christ. It was letting him know and the world know who he is and what he is. Amen. I want you to know tonight that the devil will do everything he can to make you doubt who you are. If you're a child of God, he's going to do everything that he can to make you doubt that you are indeed a child of God. He will try to make you think that you're a nobody. He will try to make you think that you are nothing. He will do everything in his power to bring you down. Because he knows that if you ever get a hold of who you are and what you are in Jesus Christ, that we will tear his kingdom down. Amen. The Bible said that immediately after Jesus was baptized, it said the Spirit led him in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Mark said it this way, or Peter probably said the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Amen. Now we think of the Lord leading us, but we don't think of the Lord leading us into a place to be tempted. We don't think of the Lord leading us into a place to be tried. Amen. But isn't that what it said? Amen. It said he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested or tempted of the devil. Amen. It was what God had in mind. Amen. You know, the Holy Ghost doesn't always lead us in paths of blessing. Sometimes the Lord allows us to be tested for two reasons. He wants you to know who he is, and he wants you to know who you are. He wants you to know that he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Almighty. He wants you to know who you are, and he wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know what you are. He wants you to know what you have in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Anybody remember what you are in the Holy Ghost? Anybody remember the power that he has placed in your life and in my life? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He let us know right up front that we have power in the Holy Ghost tonight. He wants you to know that.
Yes, sir.
He gave you power to tread on serpents. Yes. He gave you power to call down and cast out devils. He gave you power to heal the sick Amen. Through His name. He gave you power to remit sins through His name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish the church could realize who you are tonight. I wish you could really understand who you are tonight. I wish you really knew who you are in Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. The first thing that He did after fasting for 40 long days. What's a long fast?
Come on.
I mean, by that time, greens and liver looks good. By that time, liverwurst looks good. By that time, stones start looking like bread. Amen. And so the devil speaks to him and he tries to test him. And he's weak with hunger. And he says to him, he said, if you are, everybody say if.
Yes.
If you are the Son of God, I'd like to make you doubt who you are. I want you to forget who you are. I want you to forget what you have. I want you to forget what God wants to do through you. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread.
That's right.
I'm telling you, He could have. Hallelujah. If He could take five biscuits and some sardines and feed 5,000 people, He could make stones into bread.
Amen.
Amen. But He understood where this was going. He was not going to use His spiritual power for personal gain. Amen. You know why God trusts so few people with power gifts? Because it goes to their head. I've appreciated what I've read about Brother T.W. Barnes. He was raised in an era with, I call some other great faith healers, you would know their names because they certainly made their names known. And he was following simply in the footsteps of his contemporaries. And he was going around doing revival campaigns and lots of folks were being healed and miracles were happening. And he had a sign painted. And he put it up over his tent. And it said, Barnes Healing Campaign. And he was admiring his new sign. And the Lord spoke to him and said, ha! Who's Barnes? Who is Barnes? And he took down his sign. And he never put it up again. Hey folks, it's not Barnes Healing Campaign. It's not Grissom's healing campaign. Whoever's name's attached, it's Jesus' healing campaign. Anything that's done, He does the work and He gets the glory and He deserves the praise. Amen. And so Jesus saw beyond the temptation and He realized that He would not use His spiritual power to just feed His hungry flesh. And so He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. There's something that is more powerful and needful, and that is the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. That is bread for the spiritual man. That's what feeds your soul tonight. And that's what you will keep you strong in the Holy Ghost, the word of the Lord. And then a little while, the Bible says the devil took Him up and put Him on the pinnacle of the temple. And He was standing and there were lots of people all around. And He said, cast yourself down from here if you be the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Amen. I just want you to make yourself a spectacle here. Let me tell you something. Religion has a lot of spectacles in it. There are some churches you can go to, they'll guarantee you a miracle a minute or your money back. I mean, they've got a show. They got a good show. They work on having a show. Amen. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm not interested in a show. I'm not interested in anybody getting the glory. I'm interested in one solitary thing. And that is all the glory and all of the praise and all of the honor belong to Jesus Christ and to Him alone. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was in a meeting one time, and a guy kind of scolded me. He was well known for calling folks out, you know, and healing them and all of that stuff. And he called me up and, you know, prayed for me and then kind of scolded me because I didn't have enough faith. Well, I didn't have enough faith in him, that's for sure. Amen. But I still have faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not real big on shows, folks. I'm sorry. That doesn't interest me. That doesn't interest me. These fellows that say, well, you know, you gotta use the gifts and you gotta prophesy. If you're wrong, half of the time you get it right, half of the time. I don't believe that. I believe if you say the Lord says, the Lord better say, or you're lying. Amen. And you're in danger before the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't like people telling things that I said that I didn't say, and I don't think God's any different. I believe that if the Lord said, whatever He said will come to pass. Because He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. Hallelujah. And He said, the word that I send, it will accomplish what I sent it to accomplish. It will not return unto me void. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't want to turn the church into some kind of a sideshow. I don't want the church to be just some kind of an entertainment center. Amen. I'll tell you the kind of revival that I want to see. I want the church to be the kind of revival that whenever the sick come in, you don't have to worry about calling them out. The Lord calls them out. And right in the middle of a song service, somebody that came in lame can leap to their feet and begin to leap and run and shout and praise the Lord of glory. Somebody that comes in blind, their eyes can be opened, and to Jesus be all of the glory. And somebody that has a deaf ear, it can be unstopped and be open, and Jesus gets all of the glory. Amen. I've been there. In the last conference I was in Columbia, you talk about a mighty meeting. Praise God. And you know one of the reasons they had it is because they were worshiping. They were worshiping like you were doing a little bit earlier in this service tonight. Amen. They didn't have their mind on anything but the Lord. Praise God. I mean, it was a thunderous praise in that sanctuary. If you wanted to get out and praise somebody, you couldn't have because the crowd was just packed together like a bunch of sardines. And there was no air conditioning. It was hot. We were sweaty. We were smelly, but we were worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost was moving. Praise God. And all of a sudden, you'd look, and here would come a wheelchair being passed to the front of the sanctuary because somebody was saying, I don't need that anymore. And somebody would send their crutches, and you'd come across the sea of people, and you would see somebody back there just shouting before the Lord. They came in on crutches, but they didn't leave on crutches because the Lord had healed them. Amen. Blind eyes were open and deaf ears were unstopped, and Jesus got all of the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 700 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost all over that huge auditorium because the presence of the Lord was doing all of its work. Amen. Nobody was getting in the glory but Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what we want to see, isn't it, folks? Somebody said, Brother Grissom, what do we have to do to have revival? Who do we have to bring in to have revival? Amen. What do we have to do? I'm going to tell you what we got to do. Worship must be preeminent. Worship must be preeminent. Worship must be preeminent. Jesus must be glorified. Hallelujah. He's going to be the center of everything. Amen. Praise God. We need to subject ourselves entirely to Him. There's no room for flesh. There's no room for bad attitudes. Amen. There's no room for anything else. Just let Jesus have His way. And I promise you, revival will begin to happen. Revival will begin to happen. Revival will begin to happen. I've heard the old timers talk about they would get together and just begin to have prayer meetings. And they'd get to having a great time in the Lord, and all of a sudden somebody would start beating on the door, and they say, "What in the world is going on in here?" And they said, "We're just having a prayer meeting." And they'd say, "I was walking by this place and something just got a hold of me and said I had to come in here and find out what you folks had." And they would pray with them and they'd receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe that can still happen? I believe we can have that kind of revival. It's the will of God that we have that kind of revival. I believe people passing by on this highway in front of this church, the Holy Ghost can arrest them and cause them to turn the vehicle around and come in and say, "I don't want you folks. I don't know what you have, but I was passing by and something got a hold of me." See tonight. That's the will of God. If He can do it then, He can do it now. If He did it for them, He can do it for us.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We had a great service. I don't remember some 70-something people received the Holy Ghost in a church service that was quite large. We probably had 300-400 people there that night. And my, what a service we had. And folks were leaving. As a matter of fact, almost everybody was gone. And suddenly, this man comes running through the back door. And he said, "Preacher, preacher." He said, "I heard folks were getting the Holy Ghost here." He said, "I want the Holy Ghost." Amen. He hadn't heard the sermon. He didn't hear the singing. He didn't hear anything. He wasn't there for the altar call. But the Holy Ghost brought him. He prayed with him in just a few minutes. He was talking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. Amen. Praise God. Hey, we're not interested in the show. All we want to be sure is that Jesus gets all of the glory. If you're willing to jump off of buildings, you'll get a crowd. They'll come to watch you fall. But they won't come for the Lord. No matter how many tricks you can pull out of the hat, somebody will come along with a better show. I said somebody will come along with a better show. And they'll start drifting away. If people come in on a show, when the show starts falling apart, they'll leave. But if they get their heart full of the love of Jesus Christ, they're going to stay because they love Him and understand He brought me here. Hallelujah! He brought me out, hallelujah, of the miry clay, and He set my feet on the rock to stay. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." I got a feeling every time He said that, the old devil trembled in his shoes. Listen to what He said. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Amen. He was reminding him, "Devil, He's your God too." Amen. Devil, He's your God too. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to bow one of these days. You're going to confess one of these days. Amen. You're not going to forget who you're serving. Amen. Praise God. He is still the Lord our God, isn't He? Amen. And then it said that He took Jesus to a high mountain and He showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And He said, "Fall down and worship Me. And I will give you all these things." You see, you know what made the devil fall? He got to worship, watching how angels worshiped. And he watched the angels worship and he got to wanting that worship for himself. Hey, that's a temptation for you and me. It still is. It still is. We still like attention. Yes, you do. Amen. Don't tell me you don't like attention. You're just deceiving yourself. You like attention. Amen. You like for folks to pay attention to you. You like to be important. And there's nothing wrong with that. God made you to be significant. God made you to be somebody. Amen. God made you with an ego, and it's all right as long as you keep it in its place. But and that was what happened to Eve, wasn't it? I remember what Satan said to her. He said, if you'll eat this fruit, he said, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Amen. One of the great downfalls of people is we want to know everything. Yes, we do. Amen. We want to know everything. Praise God. Why do people listen to gossip? Because they want to know everything. Why do people read newspapers? Because they want to know. Why do you listen to the radio news? Because you want to know. We want to know. We have this desire to know everything. Amen. There's some things it's good to know, and there's some things it's good not to know.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. What was it? Lady Astor, they say, who was known as a great gossip, had a pillow that was embroidered, and a little saying said, if you can't say anything good about somebody, come and sit right here beside me. She wanted to hear about it. Amen. Praise God. But hey, our ears were not created to be garbage cans. Amen. It's very true. You put garbage in, garbage out. Amen. And so let's concentrate, folks, on hearing the good things and the positive things. Let's concentrate on saying good things. Let's concentrate on saying right things and powerful things. Amen. Let's concentrate on building one another up instead of tearing one another down. Amen. Let's concentrate on talking about revival instead of destruction. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe that's the will of God. I believe that's the will of God. Hallelujah. Somebody starts talking to you about your brother or sister, you need to stop them and say, that's enough. That's my brother. That's my sister. I don't really want to hear anything else about them. Amen. You want to tell me something good? Say on. You want to tell me something negative? Don't want to hear it. Amen. You know, it's hard to forget things that you hear. And even if it's not true, it still puts a mark on somebody's character. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever watched somebody sling mud against a clean wall? You can wash the mud off, but what stays? The stain is still there. I've watched people, the same thing happen. Mud was slung on them, and then it was proven that it wasn't true, but the stain was still there. The question was still there. Amen. Be careful what you say about your brother, about your sister. Amen. I don't know how we did that, but we did, and it was good, and don't cost you anything extra. Amen. So, Satan said, fall down and worship me. Amen. And he said, I will give you all of these things. Everybody say things. Isn't it sad that people sell out for things? Just stuff. People will lose out with God over stuff. And you know what happens to stuff. Amen. It gets old. It wears out. It loses its glitter. It loses its value. It loses its importance. After a while, you want something new. You want something better. All you got to do is take a trip down to the Goodwill store and you'll see how valuable junk is. You'll see stuff that one day people just couldn't do without. Right. Gotta have it.
Gotta have it.
You walk over there and the wall is lined with it now.
Yeah.
Bread machines. Gotta have it. You can buy bread machines for little or nothing now because it came and it went. And I'm not against bread machines. Make some and bring it to me. I like it. Amen. But I'm just simply saying that stuff that you just gotta have. And a little while, it's not worth anything. You can't hardly give it away. Clothes, oh my, got to have this brand new. How long is it going to stay new? Not very long. Amen. And then to the goodwill it goes, if they'll take it. Amen. And you know what I'm saying? That stuff. And so all the devil had to offer Jesus was just stuff. Amen. What did John say about it? Let's read it. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, everybody say all. For all that is in the world, this is it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Hey, folks, it looks to me like it would be better to serve the Lord.
Right.
Amen. This whole world's not going to last long.
Right.
Stuff. He said, just worship down and I'll give you all this stuff. Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. Praise God. Worship, folks, is important. If it's important enough that the devil wanted it, it must be important.
Amen.
That he saved his very best temptation to try to get worship. When he was going to give him the whole bag of marbles if he could just get him to worship. He understands that worship is the most important thing. If it's important to Satan, it's important to God. Matter of fact, Jesus made it very plain to us, didn't he? In the book of John, he said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And listen, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is just seeking for one thing, and that is worship. God is attracted to worship. God is drawn to worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wherever that's coming from, that's where the Lord is. Hallelujah. The Bible said the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Worship tonight is importance, and worship is preeminent. Heaven is filled with it. The Bible says when Isaiah saw the vision of heaven, what did he see? He saw some angels, and their entire occupation was to stand constantly before the throne of God and sing one to the other, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. That was their job. Was just to worship. Just to worship. Amen. And anything that God wants, the devil does he wants more than he wants anything else. Because he just wants what God wants. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's essential, folks, that we worship. But it's essential that we worship the right thing. Everybody worships. Some people worship idols. Some people worship intellectualism and philosophy. Some people worship materialism. Some people worship humanism. There's all kinds of things to worship, but I want to be a worshiper of the true God. Hallelujah. I want to worship in spirit, and I want to worship in truth. Praise God. Amen. So that I can honor Him and bless Him and be unto Him something that He desires. Praise God. Worship is not an easy thing. Amen. Worship is harder than work. I said worship is harder than work. Because worship is a spiritual experience. Now, there's a little difference in worship and praise. You can praise God without worshiping God. I said you can praise God without worshiping God. What's the difference? Worship brings sacrifice. So you can praise without sacrifice. Amen. I know that's true. There are people that can come and oh my, they praise the Lord. They really praise the Lord. Amen. But there's no sacrifice. When they leave, they're the same as when they came. There's no change. There's no difference. There's no commitment. There's no holiness. Holiness is worship unto the Lord. Amen. Isn't that right? Holiness calls for a commitment. Holiness brings a depth of worship that praise will never bring. Amen. I've been to churches where there was a whole lot of praise and no holiness. And it was very superficial. It was very superficial. Oh, it was. I mean, they could sing. They could sing. And they could shout. And they could dance. Matter of fact, they had it down so good. They did it all in unison. Everything was just perfect. And had pretty banners and everything going all together. Man, they had it going on. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But there was no sacrifice. No sacrifice. No sacrifice. Worship always brings a sacrifice. Always brings a sacrifice. Amen. Praise God. And so, when the Bible says that we are to worship the Lord, amen. And when you worship God, there are some things that will happen. Amen. I like this. The Bible said after they got on the subject of worship, remember what Jesus did? I don't know why he'd been putting up with the devil. But whenever he got on the subject of worship, and Jesus told him, he said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He said, get thee hence, Satan. Get on out of here. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Bible said, and the devil leaveth him. You know what happens when you get to worship in the Lord? The devil cannot stay. It gets too hot for him to handle, and he's got to go. Praise God. When you get to worshiping with sacrifice, with all of your mind, and all of your heart, and all of your soul, and all of your strength, and everything that's in you, and you're worshiping the Lord, the devil can't handle that. He leaves. Praise God. He walks out of there. Praise God. He can't handle that kind of worship. Praise God. And the Bible said, and angels came and ministered to him. That's what I like about worship. When you worship, the devil's got to go. And when you worship, the angels come. When Satan vacates, the angels move in. Praise God. And they come to minister. Hallelujah. Angels are ministering spirits. That's what they come to do. God sends them with a special mission to work out things in your life and to work on your behalf. Amen. Praise God. So worship has a powerful effect. And that's why it's a preeminent occupation of the church is to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to be a worshiper. How about you? Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible said that God is love. Love is emotional energy. Love is emotional energy. You'll do things for love that you won't do for any other reason. It will energize you. Do you remember Brother James, Brother Troy, whenever you used to, you know, you'd come in and you'd be real tired. You'd been working, but you were getting to go ready to go see Margaret, and all of a sudden you got energized. Amen. Some of you might remember that. You got energized. I mean, you had the power to wash your car and get it all shined up and shine your shoes and iron your clothes. Man, you were energized. Praise God. You could barely get yourself out of the bed to get to work in the morning, but when you got off and you were getting ready to go see your beloved, you were energized. What was that energy? Love energized you. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. You can come to church beaten down and the devil's been working you over all day long, but you get in here with your beloved and you begin to worship Him and you begin to praise Him, and I'll tell you what, all of a sudden you start getting energized. Praise God. Love will make you do things that nothing else can possibly get you to do. Amen. God, the Bible said, is light. Light is a natural energy. Amen. Praise God. And the light shows us things. Light allows us to see things clearly and correctly. I don't know about you, but I've been mistaken about some things in the dark. I learned a lesson. Never buy a car in the dark. I was dumb enough to do that one time and one time only. I'll never, ever do it again. Amen. You know, the darkness covers a multitude of sins. A lot of stuff you can't see in the dark. Amen. And so in darkness, you know, you can get ripped off. You can be deceived. But God is light. Hallelujah. And worship begins to bring things to that are of value, and you begin to see what really matters. See, in the darkness, you can hold a lump of coal in one hand and a diamond in the other and not know which is which. But you get in the light, and you can tell in just a moment what is of value and what is not. Worship helps you to do that today. Worship helps you to see what is junk and what is stuff. And what is fluff? And what is just things? And what is just glitter and glitz? And then it helps you to see what is genuine and what is real and what is lasting and what is valuable.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for light.
Yes, sir.
Worship brings the light.
Amen.
Amen. Holiness brings spiritual energy. Spiritual energy. Spiritual energy. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, holiness is still important.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Don't let this world tell you that it's not important. Amen. There's just something about a commitment to God. God committed to you, and when you commit to Him, it brings a value in a relationship. When He set Himself apart for you, and you set yourself apart from Him, or for Him. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Makes a difference. Amen. You're not doing it because your pastor told you to. You're not doing it because it's written in the United Pentecostal Church manual. You're doing it because you love Jesus Christ. Hello? I said, you're doing it because you love Jesus Christ. And it's a part of your commitment. And when you do that, there's an energy and there's a power and there's a strength in your holiness. It brings a special power to your life, a special energy to your life. Worship does that. Worship causes you to want to be holy. When you get in the presence of the Lord, really get in the presence of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
What's that old song we used to sing? Turn your eyes up on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And that's what happens. Whenever you get into worship, and you begin to see what really is beautiful and what really matters, you're drawn to that. And you want to be a part of that. And you want to dedicate to that. And you want to please Him. That becomes your driving force. That becomes your motive for living. As I want to please Jesus Christ. Because He's lovely and He loves me. Amen. It's easy. This world is good at putting on the glitter and the glitz, folks. It's good at it. Amen. And but worship helps to take all of that out of the equation. And you see Him as He is. You see Him in His simplicity. You see Him in His beauty. You see Him in His majesty and in His power. And everything else becomes dim and fades away. Amen. Praise God. Worship does that for you. I said worship does that for you. That's what the psalmist was talking about. He said, when I beheld the prosperity of the wicked, my steps had well nigh slipped. I almost gave in and gave up and bought into the lie. He says, but then went on to the house of the Lord. And I understood their end. I saw where it was going. When I got to the house of worship, I understood, and I don't want to go that way, because the end's just right down the road, and it's all going to be nothing. Amen. And that's why the psalmist said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Amen. There are some things that worship brings to us that nothing else in this world will bring to you. Worship is preeminent. Worship is important. Worship is vital. Amen. Praise God. When worship takes place, God is exalted. God is exalted. The word exalted simply means lifted up. He's put on the pedestal, if you will. Amen. He's put in the high place where all of the focus is on Him. Praise God. That's what worship does. Worship lifts up. Worship glorifies Jesus Christ. Worship puts Him on high. Amen. Worship subjects the flesh. When I'm worshiping God, amen. You know, anybody remember when ladies used to shuck their hair down?
Yes, I do, man.
Sometimes that was quite revealing. And in those days, I remember that back in the 70s, the style was to put your hair as high as you could get it. In order to do that, they put some interesting stuff in there to get it up there. and it really took a move of the Holy Ghost to get them to shout. Because when they did, it all came down. And the truth came out. Oatmeal boxes and all the rest of it. I mean, boy, it was a revelation. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost begins to move, the flesh comes under subjection. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? My uncle was seeking the Holy Ghost. He wanted it so bad. He said, but there's one thing I'll never do. He said, I'll never be one of those people saying, glory, glory, glory. He said, that sounds so dumb. You know how he got the Holy Ghost? He started saying, glory, glory, glory. And God gave him the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The flesh was subjected. Amen. That's what worship does. It puts this old flesh under subjection. I'm not talking about just praise. I'm talking about worship, where you pour everything out to Him. Nothing else matters, just pleasing the Lord. The flesh is subjected. And when the flesh is subjected, the devil gets defeated. The Bible says, what does it say? Remember that verse that says, resist the devil and he'll flee? But what did it say before that? It said, submit. Everybody say, submit. Submit yourself to the Lord. That's what worship does. Worship is submitting myself to the Lord. Amen. And after I have submitted to the Lord, then I can resist. I can't resist without submitting to the Lord. But whenever I have submitted to the Lord, then I can resist the devil. What does resist mean? He pushes, you push back. You know what resisting is? Resisting is not he pushes and you cave in. He hits, you hit back. He pushes, you push back. You keep pushing until he runs. It's talking about spiritual warfare. Where does that kind of energy come from? Worship!
Bye.
You know what this flesh wants to sin? I don't know about yours, but mine does. And yours does too. Amen. It has all kinds of desires. And when it has its way, it will fall into sin. But it doesn't want to submit. It doesn't want to resist the devil until worship comes. And then I see His beauty, and I see His glory, and I see His power, I see His majesty. I see the worth of living a righteous life. And then because of that, I resist. I start fighting. I start pushing back. I get involved in spiritual warfare. And the devil has to flee. Because he's a defeated foe. Worship will do that. Worship will do that. Worship will do that. Worship is preeminent. It's what God wants. Hallelujah. Praise God. Worship is just simply what God wants. And whenever you worship, you get spiritually empowered for service. What did he say? And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Amen. You see, the Holy Ghost is what gives you the power to be a good witness. Amen. And you get that through worship. You get that through worship. You get that through worship. There is a power, folks, in worship that doesn't come any other way. And you can't get it from any other source than worshiping the Lord God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But you can worship Him. There's something about worship that is so very beautiful. Bible college, we used to, after service, go to McDonald's and a group of Bible college kids go in there and the manager of the store, he'd say, "Would y'all sing for us?" They loved to hear worship because it brought a peace into that place. It'll do it, won't it? It'll do it. Worship will do that. Praise God. You perhaps heard the story from several years ago. There was an atheist that was invited to come to a California school and stand up and blast God for 45 minutes and tear everything about God down before that assembly of young people. And he got up there and he ranted and raved about God and how ignorant it was to believe in God and tried to destroy the belief system of all of those young people. But there was one Pentecostal young girl that was in that auditorium and she couldn't stand anymore. She jumped up to her feet and she lifted her hands to the Lord and she just simply lifted her voice and she began to sing, "I shall know Him. I shall know Him. When at last in His presence I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands." And suddenly other young people stood up and they began to sing that chorus until that whole auditorium began to just roar with the sound of that chorus as young people began to sing. And the atheist stormed off in a fit of rage because just one little girl stood up and began to worship.
Amen.
And worship filled that auditorium. Worship filled that place where hatred had been and lies had been and deception had been. And worship defeated all of that. And the beautiful and the peaceful, powerful presence of God filled that auditorium. That's what worship will do. That's what worship will do. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you'll read that there were Roman soldiers that were marching Christians to their death, and they were worshiping and singing and praising God on their way to die. And some of those soldiers would literally take off their robes and drop them in the snow, and they would join those Christians on their way to death because there was something about their worship. Something about their worship. Amen. Folks, let's stand together tonight. It would be good if we would fall in love with worshiping God all over again. Amen. To just fall in love with worshiping God all over again. Hallelujah. Praise God. If we would remember what it was like when we first fell in love with Jesus. As a matter of fact, I believe he talked to one church. And he said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. I believe a part of the first love is worship. It's worship. It's worship. It's worship. Amen. I believe that tonight. I believe that when you worship God, a lot of little things that bother you don't bother you anymore. You're not worried about the songs that are sung. You're not worried about the music. You're not worried about the volume. You're not worried about the air conditioner or the heater. You're not worried about who's sitting beside you. You're not worried about what's going on around you. When you get into worship, all that matters is that you worship Him. Hallelujah. Amen. I've known people to leave the same service, and one would be saying, that was the deadest thing I've ever been in. And the other one say, oh, that was the most glorious service tonight. What made the difference? Worship. 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 Amen. I think it'd be good tonight if we just worship the Lord here. Amen. Could we do that? Amen. Would you just come to worship Him? Would you just come to worship Him? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's come and worship the Lord tonight. 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 It's irresistible. Let's come and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's come and worship. Let's lose ourselves for a little while in worship. Oh, turn your eyes on Jesus. Lose yourself in worship. Let's shut down everything else for a little bit here tonight. And let's let Him know more than anything at all in this world. Let's let Him know that He's first and foremost in our lives. Jesus, I love You most. I love You best. I want You to be first in my life. Help me tonight to have no other loves, no other loves. All that You can be most, You can be first. Hallelujah. That's it. Amen. Let's just love Him. Oh, hallelujah. Get lost in worship. What anybody else is going to do, I want to worship. If I can love You like I ought to love You, I can worship You like I should worship. Nothing else would be important. Nothing else would be important.
To be like Jesus. you for loving me. I love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. And you stand. Worship you, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. I worship you, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you.
Sweet, 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 s